We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580, FM 90.9 HD2, and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. It's the first Friday of the month, the first Friday of December. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. So if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call, and Carol and Jim will do their best to lend a hand. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Hello, welcome back.
Seasonal felicitations.
Yes, and I bet your males are really happy.
They're noticeably more active.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The long night is over and it's morning at Poker Flat.
Meanwhile, at Carol's.
Yeah, I just don't like cold weather. I don't care if the dogs like it or not. I don't like it.
Carol has a golden and a doodle.
And a doodle. We walked last night and it was a beautiful, well, every night this week was beautiful for walking, but last night was nice and clear and pretty. And
beautiful.
I didn't see one
moon.
Other human being or dog. It was just the three of us walking and walking and walking.
Nice and quiet.
Yeah. We're not fair weather walkers. Yeah. We walk in all weather.
Yeah. And Jim and his wife Robin, I should mention, have Malamutes. And so people joining us maybe for the first time would be interested in.
I just thought of something. Can do a plug. Andy's in a contest. Did you see the movie A Dog Named Christmas Sunday Night?
No.
The Hallmark Hall of Fame movie. Well, they are having a contest, Hallmark is, and I entered a photograph of Andy in there. And if she wins, Hallmark will donate $1,000 toward the owner's favorite charity, and mine would be Champaign County Humane Society. Now, I took a sneak peek. She has 80-some-odd votes, which I'm pretty excited about. And then I guess there are people in this world either have a lot more friends or they have found a better way to vote because the top dog had like 44,000 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
So I thought, okay, little Andy.
Vote early and often.
Yeah, we can do it, but we've got to get there.
I don't think that dog has 44,000 friends.
It's a whole town. But anyway, that movie was so good last Sunday night. Oh, God, it was a great movie. About a yellow lab that adopted from the shelter at Christmas time, and I went through, and it had a nice happy ending and everything, but I just couldn't stop crying throughout the two-hour movie.
That's my kind of movie.
I don't know what it is.
I might mention that the star of that show played Commander Pike in the new Star Trek movie.
You mean the father?
Yes.
Who limped because he got shot in the leg and he had to leave his dog behind in Vietnam and nobody believed he had a dog. And
well, that's why
so
you were
he didn't
crying,
want his
huh?
son to experience the grief of losing a dog, so he wouldn't let the family have a dog. And they adopted one just for the holidays because the shelter was overflowing. I mean, there was every tear trigger in that movie for me, but it was.
But it had a happy ending.
I knew he looked familiar, and I don't watch Star Trek.
You'd have to go to the theater. Well, I guess it's out on disc now.
So how do we vote for Andy?
Go to the Hallmark Hall of Fame website, and they have the photo contest for the dog's cutest dog. And you have to search for Andy Lindholm, and it's Andy with an I.
A-N-D-I.
A-N-D-I Lindholm. And then this cute little face will pop up, and you can vote for her.
Okay.
And then the shelter benefits. And I get 250 greeting cards with that picture on it, so I'll send them to everybody that voted for her.
How many times can you vote?
I thought you could only vote once, but apparently I'm mistaken.
44,000 votes for...
Yeah.
Is it a
kickoff? Actually,
dog?
I didn't even look for myself. I had one of my friends burst my bubble because I thought, well, that's pretty good. I think we had 83 votes or something. This is fabulous. I just put it up a week ago. Well,
you got more friends than
Carol,
I do,
hate to
Carol.
Boost your bubble, but...
So anything we need to mention in terms of the... either the shelter or the club.
Oh, you know, tonight is the parade in Champaign.
Downtown Champaign.
Let It Glow, I think. So, yeah, it's a parade tonight. And the shelter is going to be participating, singing Christmas carols. That they altered the lyrics a tad to make them more appropriate for animals. And
did they get copyright clearance on those?
I just really don't think so, oh. Mr. Lawyer.
Oh.
And...
I see lawsuits coming.
And some are bringing their pets with them, I believe. But I don't know. I'm still on the fence. It's cold. It should
get your winter coat out.
Yeah, I know.
Get your mittens out.
I haven't gotten it out yet. Mittens I do have. But anyway, that's this evening, and I think it starts about 5:30. It'd be kind of fun. There'll be a whole bunch of people downtown. And on our dog training club front?
We usually take December off, which...
Oh, but we have a tracking test coming up.
We have a tracking test out at...
Penfield.
Penfield? I think it's at the Penfield... it's north
Middle
of Penfield.
Fork.
It's the Middle Fork County Park.
Saturday. It's a beautiful park. It's kind of like a big secret. It's huge.
Yeah, and you need a big area for... tracking test. It's Saturday and Sunday, but Saturday really they're just
they lay the tracks.
They're laying out the tracks.
It's really fun to go watch if you've never seen
it. It's a hoot.
You need to bring binoculars, but
I laid an advanced track. I think it was last year, and you know, nor rain nor sleet nor dark
night.
Oh no, man, we were walking through the briars and walking through the brambles. And
you had bad weather last year, I think.
The weather wasn't that bad. It had rained and snowed, so every step was a squish. But when they lay out the track, they don't care.
It's not golf course.
Yeah. If you're
terrain.
Walking if you're walking through a swamp, you're walking through a swamp. I believe that's the last time I'm going to do that. I'm old.
You're hung up on that stuff now.
I'm old and can't make it through these bogs and rabbit hutches.
I like tracking, but, you know, I guess I'm somewhat of a sissy. So I was taking these tracking classes, and one of the instructors, who's also, I believe, a judge, was pointing with delight, and I thought this was kind of cool, where the deer sleep at night. You know, you could see the depressions, and because you're really in,
you're in the woods,
terrain.
You're not in the park.
And then they were talking about in the spring when you go out, the snakes will form these huge, giant rolls of snake during their like mating season or something, and you kind of have to watch out for those. And I could feel myself thinking that my trekking career is going to be really limited and short, because that wouldn't do a thing for me. But tracking is a wonderful sport where you trust your dog. Your dog does all the work, and you're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
So do you want to know what tracking is?
Well,
they hide
they
articles.
Right.
Well, they don't hide them, but they're out there.
They have a starting point and the track layer. They lay out the tracks on Saturday, but they actually walk the tracks on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's AKC tracking, so it's modified a lot, but the track is
aged. Some are
aged. Up to 2 hours.
They have so many turns.
Has to have, right. So many turns, and it has to be about 400 yards through the fields. This is for the basic tracking. And at the end of the track layer drops a leather object of some sort, steps on it, so... And then when the dog finally finds it, the dog has to do something to acknowledge that it's found the leather item, either by picking it up or sitting or barking or playing a tune on the harmonica.
But this is a strange scent. It's not the owner's scent.
Right. And it's not timed, so you could be out there for hours, in theory.
In theory.
And some dogs work slow, and some you have to run behind because they just follow the trail so well. It's a lot of fun. I've track trained a couple dogs, never to a title. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of time. And you have to have a good set of boots.
Oh, you have to go out and buy all this whole different wardrobe.
Well, not us Malamute people, no.
Well, you have to have a warm hat. You have to have warm gloves. You have to have these, like, all-terrain
boots. A lot of people already have
like
those
mountain
things. Yeah.
Boots and all this stuff, because if you go out there...
Well, no wonder you're cold all the time. You don't have a warm hat. You don't have a warm coat.
How long does it take to work with a dog to get the dog to a point where it could take part in a basic... trial.
How long is an interesting question. There's a guy named Glenn Johnson wrote one of the first books on formal training like this, and he had a 10-week program, but you had to be dedicated. I once said to somebody, well, I'm using Glenn Johnson, but I'm modifying it, and they said, everybody modifies Glenn Johnson. No one could possibly do that, because by the time you get to the last few weeks, you have to go out, run the dog on a couple tracks that have been aged for 2 hours. So that's most of your day right there. You got to walk a track, age it, walk it, and then lay another track, age it. So if you did all that, didn't have a job, were independently wealthy, and had nothing but time, you could do it in 10 weeks. But probably... probably 2 or 3 months is...
I just had a memory. When I was learning tracking and I was going to do it with Hulky, we used to lay our tracks behind Carl Clinic in Champaign, manicured little park area there. And I thought that was fine. I loved that. Because it was just, you know, it was always mowed and it was always neat and there were no piles of snakes or anything like that to encounter. But that I enjoyed that because dogs love to use their nose. They love to work, and any dog you can teach to track.
Yeah.
And people think it's the hounds that are probably the best, but that's not the case.
Hounds are the best, bloodhounds. There's
but
no doubt.
For tracking,
but for any dog can do it.
The AKC sport, any dog can do it and do a fine job of it too. Just have to have a dedicated person on the other end of the leash.
One of the dogs I trained, he never got a title, but he would run the. You know, you'd lay the track out maybe a couple hundred yards, and he would always run 10 feet downwind of the track until he got to the food drop, and then he'd run over to the track, eat the food, run back out 10 feet, and then take off again. I could never get him on the track.
He was just running parallel to it.
He was running parallel to it, but that's how he tracked.
See, and that's where you have to learn to trust your dog. You can't force them because they know what they're doing. You're just along for the ride. So,
well, was it you, Jim, who said told the story about how dogs can track illegally smuggled in narcotics in tins of coffee?
Dogs can smuggle narcotics? Oh,
yeah.
They can smell it? Well, I've always said... dogs' noses are so sensitive. Drug dealers will try to smuggle drugs, you know, past the borders, and they'll put coffee or something that smell. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is humans could probably not smell anything but the coffee, but the dog could smell everything. And I always said it's like holding your hand up and waving it and saying, you can't see me because all you can see is my hand. They go, no, I can see your hand. I can see you. I can see what's behind you. That's what I mean. I always imagine the dog talking mm-hmm. to its handler saying, there's a lot of coffee here and cocaine.
Does cocaine must have odor?
I'm sure it does.
To a dog.
Having read some police reports where... the trained officers have said I could smell the cocaine before I found it. I would imagine it does have an odor.
That was sad when the Champaign County Courthouse lost their dog, their bomb-sniffing dog
died.
Yeah, they have a new one. I was happy to read that the other day.
Yeah, it was interesting. I know that Mary Shank, who covers the courthouse mm-hmm. for the Gazette, she wrote a piece when the dog suddenly died, and it seemed like it had an impact on so many people who work there at the courthouse. You would know, Jim.
I've seen Duke. And I was always careful not to go by him because more than any other person in the courthouse, I probably smelled the richest with all kinds of dog odors on me, and I didn't want...
Oh, I thought you meant you smelled like bombs.
Well, no, no. I thought you were going to say I never bathe, and I hardly ever do.
No, he's got all those dogs at home.
Every spring I take a bath.
What was I thinking? Why would he smell like explosives?
But so if we'd have a girl in season or something like that, I'd try, and I saw him, I'd try to avoid him because that's... I don't know how well trained the dogs are. That's a pretty distracting odor for a dog, even a female dog, which Duke was not. But yeah, but I always said hi to Duke as I walked by. But
yeah, that article is poignant. It described you. Mm-hmm. You're right. It was how they just missed the interaction with him on a daily basis.
He came to be part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine Dog Trainers. Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month. Listeners, to take your telephone calls, your questions about dogs, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, and toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Last month, we had some interesting calls, and maybe we asked a few people to call us back and see how they were doing.
We had a ton of calls last month, and they were all good calls.
They were.
Oh, our classes start in January again, and we have such a nice new website. Have you seen it?
No.
Have you been to our website?
Not recently.
It is fabulous. It's very nice.
So
you want to bring it up there on the screen?
I'll do that.
But classes start the first week in January, so December is such a hectic month. It's hectic for if you're at work and at home. But if you want to get your dog in a class, the people that are dedicated are signing up already.
Okay, here
this
we go.
This is dedicated to the one I love.
Dog
who did that?
Them? There we go.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is.
The mamas and the papas did it, but it was a cover.
And, boy, the landscape out there, you guys have been working on that, huh, the dog
It really club? Looks nice there.
Boy, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to you and
the
your members.
The grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Oh, that conversation.
Nice textures and color and very nice.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people there that take a great deal of pride in that, the building and the grounds and what we accomplish there. And so we couldn't do it without our volunteers. They come out and plant and maintain the building and keep it clean.
Let's take a call.
Sure thing.
We've got a listener joining us from Philo on line one. Hi.
Hello. I haven't trained a puppy since, probably a dozen years. And when I did it before, I followed a method suggested by an author named Walters to get the dog when it was 49 days old and the puppy. And now I see the AKC recommends not getting puppies until they're at least 8 weeks old. And I know it's just 7 days the difference, but I wondered what the theories are about that these days.
The puppies, the theory is the puppy's nervous system is hooked up on the 49th day after birth. And actually, I forgot I'd have to do the calculations. It's so many days after conception, but it's generally the 49th day after birth. We do puppy tests, for example, temperament tests, on the 49th day if we can, because that's – and a puppy test is a stranger does – you know, walks around the room and sees if the puppy will follow and turns the puppy on its back to see if it can handle stress and things like that. But that's the first day when the puppy's nervous system is completely hooked up. Although, in other words, they're now capable of learning. So that's the day after which their behavior may be modified by their environment, not so much up to the 49th day. We've produced a lot of puppies and placed a lot of puppies over the years. We generally won't let the puppy go out till after the 49th day, which is what, the seventh week or sixth week or whatever?
Seventh
week. But only because we want you know, we've been puppy testing for going on 30 years now, and we want to puppy test everybody. And also it gives us an idea of what their temperament is like, and we try to evaluate the person that wants the dog and try to give them a dog that is compatible with their own personality. But it's if you got the dog at 6 weeks, you know, the world isn't going to come to an end. If you got the dog at 8 weeks...
No, actually, it's against the law to sell a puppy under 8 weeks of age in the state of Illinois.
Well, what if
not
you give them away?
Not by individual breeder, but through other means. Mm-hmm. And the shelters don't adopt under 8 weeks of age either. And my last dog I got at 9 weeks, and it was a remarkable difference. I mean, they mature very rapidly when they're young. And how old is the puppy that you're getting?
It'll be 9 weeks.
What kind is it?
A collie.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think you're fine to go 9 weeks, 10 weeks. It's okay. Better when, you know, anywhere between 8 and 12 weeks is a good time.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. Cool.
I love collies.
Puppy collie.
I couldn't imagine. I had a collie in class. Remember the woman that called? She was getting the collie, and I had her in class. I love that dog, and I liked her, too. It was a great dog. I think she was five.
So also on the website, you've got a slideshow up and running.
I know. It's so cool.
That's very nice. This
was done by one of our members.
Very nice.
Two of our members.
And yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It was a collaborative
maybe
effort.
Maybe three of our members.
I don't have a dog.
Six or seven.
But this makes me want to come out and hang out with you guys.
We're a bunch of cool people.
We are.
Aren't we? Yeah.
Well, there, you know, we've got some pictures of some border collies, an Airedale, a Golden, a Malamute. Robin's in the slideshow with a male. A Dalmatian.
I was just looking at
Doberman
today, and I didn't see...
Is it, you have to
Robin.
Go to the slideshow.
It's just right. It's right below the.
It must be in
photo
Raleigh or something.
Let's see. I'll turn this so you can see it.
Excuse me, folks.
See,
there's Robin in agility.
Oh yeah, that's Marty. Marty and Robin in agility.
So
yeah.
All kinds of dogs are.
Those are all our members' dogs.
Members, and what kind of a dog is
that? That's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh. So speaking of border collies and websites, have you visited John Katz's website, Bedlam Farm?
No, I've not. I'm just reading his latest book.
Yeah. I talked with him about his latest book.
When?
Recently.
Oh, you did?
Last month,
it.
Maybe.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just reading that one now.
And Rose, the border collie,
yeah,
is kind of simmering down. The livestock is gone from the farm.
Oh.
And
What does she do now?
She plays frisbee. She plays.
She's was the one that was always down. So frenetic. She just, all she wanted to do
work.
Was
she work. She was always working. So.
There's a bearded collie. I don't know what that guy is.
Yeah. So let's get back to asking people to give us a call this afternoon at 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Questions about dogs are invited this afternoon. This is a program we do once a month on the first Friday of the month with Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're dog trainers with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455.
There we go. Magic.
That's the dog's name?
No, the phone's. There's a phone call.
Oh. There's a slideshow up here in the studio.
No, that was a dog, a duck diving dog.
A duck diving dog.
Doc
diving.
If it was
a border collie.
If it was
and
a toller.
So I thought Magic was its name. That would be a great name for a dog. Let's take a call. We're going to go to a caller on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Hi there. Well, I just thought you were interesting. You were talking about testing puppies, and I wanted to hear more about that. I mean, I'm very amateur and uneducated, but whenever I choose a dog, I kind of roll them over and look, but I'm not quite sure what I'm looking for. And I thought I would love to hear what items of how you test and how do you know when it's a good dog and how do you know when it's not a good puppy, because all the puppies are cute. And I'll hang
Yeah.
Oh, they test for retrieving.
Well, I can't remember who.
Skinner.
The Newfoundland people. Vollmer's. I forgot. Anyway.
Volhard.
Volhard. It's a It's a temperament test, and it's a temperament test. It's the dog doesn't pass or fail. What you're trying to do is see where they fit on an actually politically incorrect nowadays, but it's a dominance submission kind of scale. So, for example, I mentioned rolling the puppy on its back. You roll the puppy on its back and you hold it for 30 seconds, and then you observe what it does. Many puppies will struggle and whine and bite and, you know, let me up, let me up. Malamute puppies, about 100% of the time, just lay there. And occasionally they squirm and then they don't. Similarly, you pick the dog up and hold it under the front legs and just suspend it in the air to see what they do. And I'm not kidding, 100% of Malamutes will just hang there. Now, is that if the dog doesn't do anything, what are you learning? Well, if you know Malamutes, that's what they do. Robin has tested other breeds and, in fact, a mixed breed litter. And boy, those puppies, you pick them up, and some of them, a terrier litter she tested once, those puppies were having none of this. You know, put me down and put me down now. And they would nip at her hand and do
something. And then they eventually will, you know, relax. That's what you're looking for, to the, you know, when the dog starts to relax. And all this is done very gently, of course.
Well, not the way. No, yes.
Stop it.
You're just trying to see what the dog's reaction to these kind of small stressors is.
There's one where a loud noise.
Yeah, you hit a loud noise and you see if you have the dog facing away from where you're going to. And what we do is take a pan from soup pan and hit it with a spoon a couple times. Bang, bang. You're also seeing if the dog is deaf. But some dogs run and hide when they hear this. Some kind of look around. Some don't even notice it.
They take when we were doing it one time, we just used a piece of crumpled up paper to check their retrievability.
Right, that's another
test.
They
chase after it and bring it back.
And I am told, we might take a little toy or a crumpled up piece of paper. You pet the puppy, you show them the thing, you maybe drop it a little bit, and you throw it. And you don't throw it across the room, maybe 5 or 6 feet. And you want to see if the puppy gets up, goes, picks up the thing and brings it back. Only about 1 out of 4 Malamutes will do that. I am told, though, that Guide Dogs for the Blind or a similar organization, if the dog doesn't, they do this and other kinds of puppy tests because you invest so much time into training the dog. They want to make sure they don't wash out sometime later. And they have found that puppies that don't go pick it up and bring it back to the this is a stranger doing the test, will wash out of their guide dog program later on. So it's a very important test for them. Will the puppy work for a stranger? Getting back to the holding the puppy on.
What is it?
You keep
is it,
interrupting me.
Is it 7 or 10?
What?
Parts of the test. I can't remember how many different things
there
are.
I can run through them. I think there's 7 or 8.
I think it's 7.
Yeah. You hold the puppy down and see if he squirms. Then you, after the 30 seconds, you pick the puppy up and you start petting him and you see what the puppy does.
If he accepts you again.
Yeah. So now you're a stranger. You've insulted this puppy. You've dominated it. Maybe it's a dominant puppy and you have put it on its back and you've dominated it. What is the puppy going to do? Many puppies will say, I don't like you, and they'll just walk away. Some puppies will sit there and kind of crouch down and go, I resent you, but I'm not leaving. What I look for is a puppy that goes, that wasn't so bad, and starts licking the tester, because that shows a forgiving dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of their temperament that indicates to me, I'm not a perfect dog trainer, and I make a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get angry and say things I shouldn't say. And sometimes I just make a mistake in training. What you want, I think, more than an intelligent dog, is a dog that's going to forgive you and say, okay, you did it wrong, but that's okay.
We're in this together.
Yeah, and to me, that's a very important part of the test. Another test is you drag some colorful thing behind you to see.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, maybe a towel.
Follow.
maybe a towel, see what the dog does. Some will attack it. The Malamutes kind of hardly notice it. Some will follow it, look at it, and then walk off somewhere else. But you get dogs, I would imagine, I've never tested a border collie, but I'll bet they jump all over that thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just their reaction to movement and sight visual stimulus.
What about adult dogs, judging their temperament in terms of if you want to bring a dog home?
Well, when you have an adult dog, the two things you don't want to do with an adult dog that you don't know, or even if you do, you're past the point where you can roll them over on your back or
right. no,
hold them suspended. Right. So those two things you can't do. It's no-no. But the
it's impossible. Like an adult of Malamute, you can never pick it up.
Yeah, but you know, people still think that rolling on their back and blah blah blah. But anyway, you can, if you're interested. You know who Dave is, excellent at assessing a dog's temperament. He'll go to the shelter. He's one of our friends and our members. And he's always looking for certain types of things. But their drive, if they'll retrieve and bring back, their level of playfulness, their ability to interact with you. And some dogs take a while, depending on their background. But I think that the more you're around dogs, more exposure you have, you can sometimes have a pretty good feel for what they're going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of an art.
It's kind of just a, I don't know how to. If you've never been around dogs, then they're a big mystery to you. Like, I don't like snakes, and there are people that love snakes. And I don't get that. But you know what I mean?
Snakes aren't bad.
So if you've not been around dogs ever, it's good then for you to have somebody that you trust and know that knows dogs and have them go with you. Or if you're going to a shelter, their staff knows dogs and they can help you with the dog you might be interested in and see, well, this one's not going to work for you, but this one might.
Does the dog training club, do you guys do a class or a seminar for people who don't know dogs but are interested?
We
That'd
don't.
That'd
be but
a
the,
good idea.
Yeah, but okay, if you go to the U of I Vet Med site, they are offering classes. What is the name of that? How could I forget it? There are two groups in
town.
One is the Vet Med Teaching Hospital, offers a series of seminars, and they're very inexpensive. I think they're $8. And it's like choosing the dog for you. And there's another organization. This town is rich with animal organizations, good ones. Another group is called CARE, Companion Animal Resource and Education. And they offer seminars on how to choose the right dog for you and your family. And the people that do these are excellent and knowledgeable and we just don't do it because by the time people come to us, they've already got one. So we just try to make it work for them.
I think that would be really useful, though.
Oh, it's very useful.
I mean, I haven't had a dog now for a long time. And if I was going to do that...
And you'd probably want a Weimaraner. Maybe that's not going to be the breed that's going to suit you now, you know?
That's right, because when I was a kid, I had all kinds of time and we could be very active with the dog. Well, a Weimaraner needs to be active and needs space to run. And I don't know that I...
And that's a real good point because what you grew up with as a child is not necessarily going to suit your adult lifestyle.
Right,
so,
right.
But those two organizations, I know you can get the information online from Vet Med Teaching Hospital.
And there are also, I think there are sites online that you could do. They kind of give you a quiz to find out what your lifestyle is, what kind of activities you enjoy, and then they come up with some types of dogs that you might find.
See, last night was just, it was cold. It was, you know, it was pretty, but just because it was cold doesn't mean that I get to stay home and watch The Office. I put my coat on, my crummy coat, not my nice winter coat, my crummy dog walking coat.
You have
coat.
A winter coat?
I have a crummy dog walking coat. And, you know, I did watch The Office. We went at 8:30, but it would have been much nicer to stay inside for the next hour, but I can't do that to them. They need to get out and get that stimulus and walk. And, you know, it's not a marathon that we do. I mean, we just go for about an hour-long walk. And, you know, we all sleep better as a result. They're happy. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. My sister-in-law says if you want to get an exercise program for yourself, get a dog, She walks an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening.
Oh, that's good. That is really good.
So it's great for her, and it's great for the dog.
We're more active when the weather is a little. And I don't like to walk when it's really icy. Because I've fallen too many times. And, you know, the last time I did that, I was blocks from my house, and I had to walk home. It was horrible. So that's why they made cell phones, I think.
That's certainly one of the reasons.
Yeah, take your cell phone with you if you walk at night.
In selecting a dog, though, we must always remember that you can stereotype dogs by breed.
Right.
And you can count on a lot of characteristics being there. But dogs are very much like people in that each one is an individual.
That's right.
And you can find very pleasant pit bulls, and you can find very unpleasant chihuahuas. And so you have to look at the individual dog. Mm-hmm. And especially when you get a mixed breed dog where you're getting the dog is inheriting two different types of temperaments, perhaps. You don't know what the combination is going to
be. I think
lead
that's
to.
A really good point that animals have personalities. They're so different from one
another. Oh, they are.
Yeah. So once
even within the same litter, you can have different personalities.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's one reason we do puppy tests, is because we're interested in obedience as well as confirmation. So.
Yeah, because they're looking at structure, too.
Yeah. Well, you said something very wise to me at one point. It was about 5 years
Carol?
Ago already. And my husband and I had, Frisbee had died, and we were waiting to have some time pass, but we wanted to get another cat. And you said, get a cat that looks very different from the one you had. That reinforces the idea that these are two different, mm-hmm. two different guys completely. And boy, are they different,
mm-hmm.
you know, domestic cats.
Speaking of cats, we've been adopted by a cat.
No way, since last month.
I'm sure somebody dumped her.
Yeah, because, you know, Jim lives pretty remote.
Yeah, we get a lot of abandoned animals out because we're just far enough out of town where people think, oh, this is far enough. We just saw a dog yesterday. He's off in the cornfield. We could never get him. But anyway, this cat, what a wonderful cat. We can pick her up.
Is she adult?
She's an adult. I'm sure she's neutered. I'm sure she's a she. She's cautious around the Malamutes, which she should be. But after about a week, she finally came into the house, even though there were dogs in it. About a week and a half ago, she found the bedroom. I found her sleeping on Robin's pillow.
How sweet.
And I said,
that?
How in the world did she find, you know, of all the places.
What a lucky cat.
Exactly. And, so she's sleeping with us, and she's a good mouser. And I know a lot of Humane Society people cringe when they hear that. But
that's what cats do.
Yeah. She's caught a lot of mice. She locked 6 mice in the first week.
Does she look like?
She's a brown. She's a tabby, kind of gray.
Long hair, short hair?
Short, kind of a, yeah, shorter, the shorter coat. And just very friendly. And I'm sitting there, who would abandon a cat like this?
Yeah, Maybe she got lost.
If you knew where Jim lived, she didn't get lost.
What is the hang-up with people not surrendering an animal to?
I don't know. You know, I met the nicest young man and girl about a month ago, and they had a young pit bull puppy. And he'd been getting gas the night before at a gas station in Champaign.
Oh, I thought the dog was getting gas.
I'm sorry. The guy was putting gas in his car.
Okay,
and
that makes more sense.
A car pulled up and threw out this puppy and a bag of dog food and peeled off. And he thought, how could somebody do this? It was about a 3-month-old puppy. And so he got the puppy and put it in his car. Because it didn't wander there. He saw it thrown out of the car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I forgot what he named that dog. It was a Chance, maybe.
Ethanol.
Ethane. But no, it was just, but it's so, you know, people think this happens in the country, and it does. but it happens everywhere, and why people just don't.
People abandon dogs at the rest stops.
I've
seen a couple dogs.
Yeah. Why they just don't take the dog to the shelter. At least they're giving it it's a safe, warm place to stay.
Well, from my point of view, we live pretty far out in the country. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at saving on gas, it's a lot easier to drive to the shelter. You'd probably save $10 in gas.
And I don't think it's because they're afraid the animal won't get adopted, because it's certainly not going to have a good chance of survival when they toss it out of the car, whether it's in town or out in the country.
We got coyotes out by us, and I would not trust a cat wandering around. They'd have to deal with those.
Maybe we need a public service campaign. If you can no longer care for an animal, bring it to a shelter. Bring it to a foster group.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree. But it just somehow seems so sad to me that you even have to say that, that it's just not inherent in one's, you know, moral makeup that you would know to do the right thing.
Why aren't people like us?
I don't know.
What's the deal?
And I think sometimes because, you know, we're all such animal lovers, it's like it's you cannot get in the head of somebody that doesn't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Well, same with, you know, people that abuse their children. I don't understand those things. I never will.
Well,
on that sad note.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, you know, we're going to be on not the first Friday in January. Did you remember?
I remember that. So what Friday? Are you going to be on the second Friday, or you want to?
Second
Friday.
If that works for you.
That works for me. I think it'll be the 7th, will it be?
That would be the 8th.
The 8th, okay.
Because January 1st is Friday.
I got the calendar up in here, but it expires at the end of the
month. Oh, and here comes
month.
Jim with his PDA. Mm. And I've already got my 2010 calendar up, and we've got a phone call.
We've got a phone call, so let's take this call. A listener in Piatt County, line 4. Hi.
Oh, hello. We have a year-old Pomeranian, and when she first started riding in the car with us, we thought it was funny when she would see another car, and she would bark and get all excited and then jump in the back seat and bark at the cars. And now she's a year old. It's not quite so funny, and she barks a lot at other cars, and it's an aggressive barking, and she, you know, jumps up on the door and barks. And so was that a real mistake, and is there any way, I mean, loud barking, she's just going to get that car or truck, and is there any way that we can stop that?
We've had this one before.
What you should do is get a crate or something like that it's almost like a baby seat just for the dog's safety. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't even have to be in a crash. You just stop suddenly. Mm-hmm. You don't want the dog flying into the windshield or something. And that'll cut down a lot on the barking because you won't be able to see anything. Was it a mistake? You know, when puppies are cute and we always laugh at what they do and what are you going to do with humans? I don't know. Probably knowing now what you knew then, you probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's being aggressive. I think she's probably alerting you to the danger of the other car. And she's probably barking at the motion. You know, she sees a big object moving. Yeah. She's going to alert you to it. I don't think she's trying to attack the car or anything like that.
Okay. Could put her in a crate. That's a good idea. I should have thought of that, I guess.
And, you know, cover the crate, too, so she doesn't see a truck goes by. Just cover it. And sometimes, you know, just eliminating that behavior for a period of time, it'll kind of stop.
And if she's not crate trained now, you want to crate train her first before you put her in a car in a crate, because she'll complain loudly if it's the first time she's been in a crate.
No, she's crate trained.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
Sure.
Thanks for the call this afternoon.
Yeah, no, people don't think Pomeranians are so little, but they would never allow a St. Bernard or Malamute to go berserk inside the car.
I saw one of the best obedience working Pomeranians in the world up in Wisconsin. It was in open, which is an advanced obedience. The woman threw the dumbbell over the jump. The dog has to jump, pick up the dumbbell, and come back. And the dumbbell bounced and bounced and ended up on its side. So it was standing up straight instead of down. The pom jumped the thing, walked over, looked at it, tilted her head, grabbed it.
How cute.
Radbaga. There was a big audience. And everybody applauded. It was just great.
Yeah, it's fun to watch those kinds of things, to watch them think.
Yeah.
It is true. You tolerate behaviors from a little bitty guy more than you would from a big dog.
Yeah. My mom had a whippet, and she and her husband had a seatbelt for him, for her. So that's another option, would it be?
It's a harness that hooks to the seatbelt. Yeah. For their purposes, that would work for safety for the dog, certainly, but she would still be able to see
the cars. Yeah. But I just wanted to mention that as an option.
Oh, those are very popular.
People who want to have the dog in the car or the truck, but yet don't want to risk injuring the animal if there's a quick stop. We're wearing seatbelts, right? Why shouldn't the animal be protected?
They just turn into a missile once the car stops.
In my younger days when I had my VW bus, Brett would help me out by changing gears for me while I was driving. So I wish I had had a crate back then and put him in it.
Brett the driving dog.
Brett is truck driving dog.
What was he? A Malamute?
Certainly.
Well, when you said younger days, I didn't know how far back.
In fact,
you were going.
He was the name for our kennel, Poker Flat.
Oh, okay.
Brett Hart. Outcast of Poker Flat. Mm-hmm. Outcasts of Poker Flat.
Well, there we leave it for December, and so we'll see you in the new year. Second Friday of January, 2010.
Where does the time go?
I don't know. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you.
Seasonal felicitations.
Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm there with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Check out the new Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana page on the website. Very nice. We'll see you in January.
Thank you.